Now, the current global economic downturn is comparable to the Great Depression. Unemployment's up, spending's down, there's volatility in the market. It is a very different time, though, to be alive than almost a century ago. Joining us to share her stories and opinion on the topic is 95-year-old Shirley Duthie from Murray Bridge. Hi, Shirley.
Good morning, Jenny.
Now, Shirley, I understand you're about 9 years old when the Great Depression started. How did it impact your family and your father too?
Well, he lost his job. He was retrenched from the railways and that, and we had to shift to Adelaide from Paris Flat and Spalding. And my mother had left us, and so he had to split up the family. And in those days, they didn't call it dole or anything like that. It was called relief. And we had to go on to relief, and it was very, very hard because he was nearly starving.
What did you have to do to get by? Were there ways that you got around that?
Well, we would scavenge anything we could get. And when I was only a little girl of nine, and so was my sister, was a bit younger than me. And we used to go, we lived at Kentown, and we used to go into the East End Market and pick up the stuff off the ground in a sugar bag.
Oh, right.
And we lived a lot on that stuff. I don't mean it was rotten, I mean, but it wasn't the top seller. And the market people were very, very good to us. They really helped a lot.
Were there any other sort of things that you had to do or tricks you had to get by?
Oh, yes, anything you could get. I know I used to go into this baker's shop and ask them, could I help clean up and that, and they would give me stale buns and things like that. And then there was around the street from us, there was a Willy Wheaties factory, and they used to have stuff on the floor, you know, and we used to sweep it up, and we were allowed to take it, and we did. That was breakfast.
Yeah, wow. We've had chats before, Shirley, and it sounds like your father was very willing to go into all sorts of different roles and work in order to support you. He worked in the rail yards or in trains for a while, didn't he?
Yes, and then the government used to let do a day's work for the council, anyone that would do it, and that paid your rent. But he would work anywhere, and he would work in the markets wrapping apples. And then they used to have a cart that used to go up to Tom Playford's place, and they'd pick apples and all that sort of thing. He would work anywhere.
Mm. Did he pass on any of those skills to you, some of those things that he learnt in those various roles?
No, he didn't knit or sew.
He didn't knit. But you were very good with the needle. You actually started to find a bit of independence in your teenage years.
Yes, I started work at 13 and a half. And started 8 o'clock in the morning and worked till 5 o'clock at night, and that was in the National Clothing Company. It was opposite Myers in Rundle Mall at the time, and I learned picking up things off the floor and all that sort of thing. And then I got onto the machines and I learned to make a whole suit, and could still make it today if I had to.
Fabulous! So for a few years, you were making some beautiful pieces for various events and different reasons.
Yes, I made wedding gowns and bridesmaids' gowns and made all my children's clothes and everything like that.
And, of course, back those days, most women who were in work, when they found a partner and got married, they then became a woman of the household. You had to give up the career?
That's right. There wasn't many jobs around for women then. It wasn't considered the greatest thing to employ women above men.
But I imagine that those skills that you learnt continued to be useful over the years.
Oh, they most certainly did, yes. I'm glad I learnt it. And I learnt to cook properly and all that sort of thing. It's amazing how, when it's needed, you will do it.
And Shirley, when you were growing up during the Great Depression years and beyond, what was it like in terms of medical support out there and the healthcare system?
Yeah, you couldn't get to a doctor if you couldn't afford it. And then there was no immunisation and there was no antibiotics. And we went through measles, chickenpox, whooping cough, mumps, and I actually ended up with diphtheria. And it was very bad days, you know, we just didn't have them. And we were very lucky. The first immunisation I remember was the poliomyelitis, and a lot of the people ended up in those breathing tanks, and they never walked or anything after that.
What was it like to have diphtheria?
Oh, it was very, very bad. I was in hospital for 4 weeks. There's a building in the Botanic Gardens, and that building's still there. That was the isolation place because you had to get away from other people with that.
Mm.
It was very, very bad for you. The throat, you couldn't swallow anything or anything like that. It was a nasty disease.
Oh, dear. But you recovered fully?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's good. It's a bit reminiscent right now, isn't it, with having this major outbreak of a disease with no cure?
That's what I was thinking. People are very lucky now because there's been so many viruses since then that they have had some immunisations from, but they didn't get them all at once. So it's just that these people just have to keep trying and trying to develop them.
95-year-old Shirley Duthie's with me. We're reflecting on the golden years and having a think about the comparisons between the Great Depression, where she grew up as a young child, and today, which, you know, we're seeing a pretty significant economic downturn from the coronavirus measures. What advice, Shirley, do you have for listeners worried about their future? What has gotten you through the hard times?
Oh, I just think it was hard work, just using your imagination. And this is a thing that it will help you along, is if you put yourself to thinking how you can do something. And I was only thinking the other day, you know, if there's some of these people now, if they haven't got a job, if I could do it, I would get a half a dozen sewing machines and put some people to learn and start up something.
Oh, right, like a garment-making organisation or something like that.
Yeah, clothing, yeah, or children's clothes and things like that, and it would be Australian-made.
Ah, so just being maybe a bit gutsier about following through with ideas and being an entrepreneur?
I think I'm a little bit too old for that.
But you could inspire others. But what else? What has helped you, you know, when you've been down and out, down in your luck? What's gotten you through?
Oh, just my sense of humour, I guess.
Absolutely. And I suppose connections too, because it sounds like you've got lots of friends at Lerwin, where you're based.
Oh, yes. All these girls here, I'd like to give my thanks to them, to all the people at Lerwin. There's the carers, nurses, and their female and a few male ones. Then there's the cleaners. The cleaner girls, they come in after the carers. Then there's the laundry girls and the kitchen who supply our meals, and the office girls, the lifestyle girls, and I mustn't forget Steve. He's the maintenance man here who keeps working all the time, and it's a big place for him to deal with.
And, it sounds like they really look after you. I hear that you're called the Queen of Lerwin because people love you so much.
Some of them say that, but I can't realise they've never given me a crown anyway. But if I was the queen, I would knight them all.
That's so lovely. But sense of humour is so important, isn't it? It, you know, just thinking about the absurdity of situations and realising your luck in moments and not taking yourself too seriously, that's pretty important, isn't it?
That's right. All these girls are wonderful people. They are so good to, with this virus that's on now, and we haven't had about being able to have visitors. They've become like your family, and they're just so lovely to you.
Yeah. And looking to the future, Shirley, do you think our culture needs a bit of a shake-up? Do you think we could learn some things from your generation as to how we go forward in terms of sustainability and how we think about money and things like that?
Oh, certainly, yes. And learn not to waste. Waste is the worst thing, you know, throwing stuff out. And because we never had fridges or anything in our days, and we never had electric light or anything. So it's learning how to preserve stuff that is usable, and I'm not talking about stuff you have to throw out that is absolute leftover rubbish, but I mean I'm talking about things that can be saved and be used. Because not saying I can't be bothered, I won't do that. No, you have to be bothered and do it.
Mm.
One of the cleaner girls has just come in to clean my room for me, so she's She's trying to be quiet.
Oh, the Queen's quarters must be cleaned.
No, they do a wonderful job. They're really lovely girls, the whole lot of them, no matter which part they work in.
Oh, well, Shirley, thank you so much. It was such a delight to have you on the program, and I'd love to talk to you again in the future.
Oh, you'd be very welcome. And if I think of anything, I'll write it down so that I can put a sensible answer to it, because I have to stop and think for a minute.
Fair enough. I think we all do.
When they said brains, I thought they said trains, and I missed mine.
Oh, thanks again, Shirley. Have a lovely day.
Yes, and to you, Jenny. Thank you very, very much for listening to me.